Human-in-the-loop data collection for robot learning, bridging the gap between demonstration and deployment. Introduction: the distribution shift problem. Picture this scenario. You've collected hundreds of expert demonstrations of a robot picking up objects from a table. Your behavioral cloning model trains beautifully, achieving low loss on the validation set. You deploy it on the real robot, and initially, everything looks promising. The robot starts moving toward the target object with confidence. But then, something subtle goes wrong. Maybe the gripper is positioned just 2 centimeters off from where it should be, or the approach angle is slightly different than anything seen in training. What happens next is a cascade of increasingly poor decisions that any human would easily recognize and correct. But your policy, having never seen such states during training, spirals into complete failure. This is the fundamental challenge that human-in-the-loop data collection addresses, and it strikes at the heart of one of robotics' most persistent problems, the distribution shift between training demonstrations and real-world deployment. Today, we're going to dive deep into a methodical approach for solving this problem that's both theoretically grounded and practically implementable. The core insight we'll explore is deceptively simple, yet profound. Instead of hoping our policies will generalize to states they've never seen, we systematically expose them to their own failure modes and teach them how to recover. This isn't just about collecting more data, it's about collecting the right kind of data that specifically targets the gaps between what we demonstrated and what actually happens when the policy runs autonomously. First principles: why standard behavioral cloning falls short. Let's start by understanding exactly why behavioral cloning, despite its apparent simplicity and appeal, consistently struggles with real-world deployment. When we collect expert demonstrations, we're essentially sampling from the distribution of states that an expert naturally visits while performing a task successfully. This seems reasonable, but there's a subtle yet critical assumption hidden here. We're assuming that our learned policy will also visit these same states during deployment. In practice, this assumption breaks down almost immediately. Even with a perfectly trained policy that exactly matches the expert's behavior on the training distribution, tiny differences in initial conditions, sensor noise, actuator dynamics, or environmental variations will cause the robot to visit slightly different states than those seen in training. These small deviations might seem harmless at first, but here's where the mathematics of sequential decision-making becomes unforgiving. Consider what happens when your policy encounters a state that's just slightly outside the training distribution. The policy makes its best guess about what action to take, but since it has never seen similar states, this guess is likely to be suboptimal. This suboptimal action leads the robot to an even more unfamiliar state, where the policy again must guess, likely making an even worse decision. This is the compounding error problem. And it's not just a theoretical concern, it's the primary reason why policies that look excellent in simulation or on validation sets often fail dramatically in real-world deployment. The mathematical intuition is straightforward. If at each time step we have some probability of making a suboptimal decision that pushes us slightly off the expert trajectory, then over a long horizon, these small errors multiply. Even if each individual error has a small probability, the cumulative probability of significant deviation grows exponentially with the length of the episode. This is why many behavioral cloning policies work reasonably well for the first few seconds or steps of a task, then suddenly and catastrophically fail. The human-in-the-loop solution: closing the distribution gap. Human-in-the-loop data collection tackles this problem head-on by explicitly collecting data from the states that the policy actually visits during deployment, rather than only from the states that an expert naturally visits during successful demonstrations. The key insight is that we can use human expertise not just to provide initial demonstrations, but as an ongoing supervisory signal that activates precisely when the policy needs it most, when it's about to fail. This approach represents a fundamental shift in how we think about learning from human expertise. Instead of treating human knowledge as a static resource that we extract once through demonstrations, we treat it as a dynamic resource that we can query strategically. We deploy our current best policy, let it run autonomously to expose its limitations, and then intervene with human corrections precisely at the moments and states where those limitations become apparent. The beauty of this approach is that it naturally balances efficiency with coverage. We're not asking humans to provide supervision on every single decision the policy makes, which would be prohibitively expensive and unnecessary. Instead, we're asking for supervision only on the critical states where the policy is likely to fail. This gives us a data set that's both highly informative and efficiently collected. The technical protocol, a systematic approach to intervention. Let's walk through the specific protocol that makes human-in-the-loop data collection both systematic and repeatable. The fundamental structure is an alternating control paradigm where both the policy and the human operator can take control of the robot at different points within the same episode, with seamless handoffs that preserve the continuity of the task. The process begins with autonomous execution. The human operator watches as the trained policy controls the robot, but crucially, the operator isn't passive. They're actively monitoring for signs of impending failure. This requires the operator to develop an intuition for the policy's behavioral patterns and failure modes. They need to recognize not just when the policy has already failed, but when failure is imminent and still preventable. When the operator identifies such a moment, they trigger a pause command. This is a critical design choice. Rather than immediately taking control, the system first pauses the policy while keeping the robot in position. This pause serves two important functions. First, it gives the operator time to assess the situation and plan their intervention. Second, it allows the teleoperator hardware to synchronize with the robot's current state before the handoff occurs. During the pause, the teleoperator moves to match the robot's current position. This synchronization step is essential for smooth control transfer and requires teleoperator hardware with active motors that can be programmed to move to specific target positions. The system used here supports devices like the Open Arm Mini or SO100 series leader arms, which can programmatically enable and disable their torque and move to match the robot's configuration. Once synchronized, the operator triggers the takeover command, which transfers control from the policy to the human. At this point, the teleoperator's motors are disabled, allowing the human to move freely and directly control the robot. This is where the critical work of the intervention happens, and it consists of two distinct phases: recovery and correction. Recovery involves teleoperating the robot back to a state where the task can be successfully continued. This isn't about undoing all of the policy's previous actions, but rather about moving to a state that's both familiar to the policy based on its training data and conducive to task completion. The recovery trajectory itself becomes valuable training data, teaching the policy how to navigate from problematic states back to good ones. Correction follows recovery and involves demonstrating the appropriate behavior from the current state. This is where the human shows the policy what it should have done differently. The correction phase continues until the current subtask is completed or until the robot is in a state where the policy can be expected to perform well autonomously. Finally, the operator triggers the return to policy command, which hands control back to the autonomous system. The policy resumes execution from whatever state the human correction has reached, and the cycle can repeat as many times as necessary within the episode. This seamless handoff capability is crucial because it means that a single episode can contain multiple autonomous segments, multiple human interventions, and rich training data from both. The iterative improvement loop, targeting failure modes systematically. One of the most powerful aspects of human-in-the-loop data collection is how it naturally lends itself to iterative improvement. Each round of data collection specifically targets the current policy's failure modes, creating a systematic process for gradually expanding the policy's capabilities and robustness. The process begins with policy V0, which is trained using standard behavioral cloning on the initial demonstration dataset. This policy will have certain capabilities and certain failure modes that become apparent only during real-world deployment. During the first round of HIL data collection, the human operator encounters these failure modes and provides corrections that teach the policy how to handle them. This HIL data is then combined with the original demonstration data set to create an augmented training set that includes both successful task completion and failure recovery. The policy is fine-tuned on this combined data set to produce Policy V1. Importantly, Policy V1 has learned not just from the original demonstrations, but also from the specific failure modes of Policy V0. However, Policy V1 will likely have its own failure modes, which may be different from those of Policy V0. Some failure modes might be eliminated, but new ones might emerge as the policy's behavior changes. This leads to a second round of HIL data collection that specifically targets Policy V1's failure modes, resulting in a new set of intervention data. This process can continue iteratively. Policy V1 leads to HIL data collection targeting its specific failure modes, which produces Policy V2, which has its own failure modes that can be addressed through further HIL collection, and so on. Each iteration focuses the human's attention on the current policy's weakest points, making the data collection process both efficient and targeted. The iterative nature of this approach addresses one of the fundamental challenges in robotics, the impossibility of anticipating all possible failure modes in advance. Instead of trying to collect comprehensive data up front, we systematically discover and address failure modes as they arise. This makes the approach both more practical and more effective than trying to collect exhaustively comprehensive data sets from the beginning. Critical analysis, strengths and limitations. The human-in-the-loop approach represents a significant advance in making behavioral cloning more robust for real-world deployment, but it's important to understand both its strengths and its limitations. On the strength side, the approach directly addresses the distribution shift problem that has plagued behavioral cloning since its inception. By collecting data from the states that policies actually visit during deployment, HIL ensures that the training distribution better matches the deployment distribution. The systematic nature of the intervention protocol is another major strength. Rather than ad hoc data collection, HIL provides a repeatable process that can be applied across different tasks and domains. The alternating control paradigm, the recovery and correction phases, and the iterative improvement loop all contribute to a methodology that's both principled and practical. The efficiency of human supervision is also noteworthy. Instead of requiring human supervision on every decision, HIL focuses human attention precisely where it's most valuable, on the states where the policy is likely to fail. This makes the approach much more scalable than alternatives that require continuous human supervision. However, the approach also has important limitations that need to be acknowledged. First, it still requires significant human expertise and time. While more efficient than continuous supervision, HIL data collection is still labor-intensive, particularly in the early iterations when failure modes are frequent. The quality of the collected data depends heavily on the human operator's skill and consistency. There's also a fundamental limitation related to the types of failures that HIL can address. The approach works well for failures that humans can recognize and correct through teleoperation, but it may struggle with more subtle issues like long-term planning failures or complex multimodal behaviors that are difficult to demonstrate through direct control. The hardware requirements present another practical limitation. The need for teleoperators with active motors and programmatic control capabilities limits the accessibility of the approach. Not all robotic systems have compatible teleoperation setups, and retrofitting existing systems can be expensive and technically challenging. Connections to broader research, from Dagger to modern scaling. To understand the significance of this human-in-the-loop approach, it's essential to place it within the broader context of interactive imitation learning research. The core ideas trace back to the Dagger algorithm introduced by Ross, Gordon, and Bagnell in 2011. Dagger recognized that the fundamental problem with behavioral cloning is the mismatch between training and deployment distributions, and proposed to address this by iteratively collecting data from states that the learner actually visits. The theoretical insight of Dagger was profound. Instead of hoping that a policy trained on expert demonstrations would generalize to new states, we should explicitly query the expert for labels on the states that the learner encounters. This breaks the compounding error cycle by ensuring that the training distribution gradually shifts to match the deployment distribution. However, Dagger in its original form had practical limitations for robotics applications. It required the expert to provide supervision on every state the learner visits, which is prohibitively expensive for complex robotic tasks. This led to the development of HG Dagger by Kelly et al. In 2019, which introduced the crucial innovation of human gating. Instead of requiring supervision on every decision, a human expert monitors the system and intervenes only when necessary. The human-in-the-loop approach we've discussed today can be seen as a direct descendant of HG Dagger, with important refinements that make it more practical for modern robotic systems. The pause takeover return protocol provides a systematic framework for the human gating process, while the recovery and correction phases add structure to the intervention process itself. More recently, the RASI framework by Hu et al. Has explicitly formalized the recovery and correction phases that we see in modern CUL implementations. RASI recognizes that effective interventions often require two distinct types of actions. First, getting the robot back to a recoverable state, recovery. And second, demonstrating the correct behavior from that state, correction. This formalization helps ensure that intervention data is both useful and well-structured. Perhaps most significantly, the recent work on PI06 and RECAP by Physical Intelligence has demonstrated that these interactive imitation learning principles can be scaled to large pre-trained models. They've shown that even sophisticated vision language action models benefit substantially from targeted human corrections on their own failure modes. This suggests that as our base policies become more capable through advances in model architecture and pre-training, the iterative refinement process enabled by HIL becomes even more powerful. Practical implementation, hardware and software considerations. The practical implementation of human-in-the-loop data collection requires careful consideration of both hardware and software components. On the hardware side, the teleoperator requirements are particularly critical. The system needs teleoperators with active motors that can be programmatically controlled, specifically with the ability to enable and disable torque and move to target positions for synchronization with the robot state. The OpenArm Mini and SO100-SO101 leader arms mentioned in the documentation represent examples of hardware that meets these requirements, but the broader principle is that the teleoperator must be able to seamlessly integrate with the control system. This integration is essential for the smooth handoffs between autonomous and human control that make HIL effective. On the software side, the system must handle the real-time coordination between policy execution, human input, and data recording. This is particularly challenging for models with high inference latency, where the delay between observation and action can make real-time control difficult. The mention of real-time chunking, RTC, for models like PI0, PI0, 5, and small VLA highlights how system architecture must be adapted to accommodate the computational requirements of modern neural policies. The data recording and management system is another critical component. The system must seamlessly record both autonomous and human-controlled segments, properly label the transitions between them, and maintain the temporal continuity that's essential for learning. This requires careful attention to synchronization between different data streams and robust handling of the control handoffs. From a user interface perspective, the system must provide clear feedback about the current control state, intuitive mechanisms for triggering control transitions, and sufficient information for the human operator to make informed decisions about when and how to intervene. The cognitive load on the human operator is significant, and poor interface design can lead to suboptimal intervention timing or quality. Looking forward, scaling and future directions. As we look toward the future of human-in-the-loop data collection, several trends and opportunities emerge. First, the scaling question is paramount. While HIL has proven effective for individual robots and specific tasks, scaling to large fleets of robots or diverse task distributions remains challenging. The human supervision requirement, while more efficient than alternatives, still represents a bottleneck for large-scale deployment. One promising direction is the development of better heuristics for when to request human intervention. Rather than relying solely on human operators to recognize impending failures, future systems might incorporate uncertainty estimation, anomaly detection, or other automated methods to flag situations where human input would be most valuable. This could reduce the cognitive load on human operators while maintaining the quality of the intervention decisions. Another important direction is the integration of HIEL with other forms of robot learning. For example, combining HIEL with reinforcement learning could allow policies to continue learning and adapting even in states where human intervention isn't available. Similarly, integrating IL with self-supervised learning methods could help policies learn more robust representations that generalize better to new states. The question of human expertise is also important for future development. Current IL approaches assume that human operators have both the perceptual ability to recognize failure modes and the motor skills to provide appropriate corrections. As robotic tasks become more complex or operate in domains where human expertise is limited, we may need to develop new approaches for training operators or augmenting human capabilities. Finally, there's the intriguing possibility of automated HIL, where learned models take on the supervisory role traditionally played by humans. As our understanding of failure modes and recovery strategies improves, it may become possible to train specialized models that can recognize when intervention is needed and provide appropriate corrections. This could combine the systematic benefits of IL with the scalability advantages of fully automated systems. Conclusion: bridging theory and practice in robot learning. Human-in-the-loop data collection represents a mature and practical approach to one of robotics' most fundamental challenges, the gap between demonstration and deployment. By systematically exposing policies to their own failure modes and teaching them how to recover, HIL provides a principled path from laboratory demonstrations to robust real-world performance. What makes this approach particularly compelling is how it bridges the gap between theoretical insights from the interactive imitation learning literature and the practical needs of real robotic systems. The pause, takeover, return protocol provides a systematic framework that any robotics team can implement, while the recovery and correction phases ensure that the collected data is both informative and well-structured. The iterative nature of HIL also aligns well with how robotics development actually happens in practice. Rather than expecting perfect performance from the first attempt, HIL embraces an incremental improvement process that systematically addresses failure modes as they arise. This makes it both more realistic and more achievable than approaches that require comprehensive upfront data collection. As the field of robotics continues to mature, approaches like HIL that combine human expertise with systematic methodology will likely become increasingly important. The challenge is not just building capable individual components, but creating robust systems that can handle the complexity and unpredictability of real-world deployment. Human-in-the-loop data collection provides one well-tested path toward that goal, grounded in solid theory, but proven in practice. The future of robotics will likely involve many such human-AI collaborative approaches, where human expertise and machine capabilities are combined in systematic ways to achieve capabilities that neither could achieve alone. Human-in-the-loop data collection shows us one effective template for how such collaboration can work, and its success suggests that similar approaches will continue to play important roles as we work toward more capable and robust robotic systems.